I was telling the choir before church began how much I appreciate that they're here each Sunday and that they sing for us. And also that they stay throughout the entire service. I was telling them about a Swedenborgian church in New York City, which many decades ago was famous for its choir that sang in the very back of the church up in a loft. And they sang before the sermon, and then for the sermon time, that was their break. And they went into a back room, drank coffee, ate donuts, and tried to time it just right, about 15, 20 minutes or so, that they'd get back, because they also sang right after the sermon ended.
Don't give us any ideas.
But it's nice, after hearing all your singing, to actually get to look at you some, too. Thanks for joining the congregation. Rachel Naomi Remen's grandfather was a rabbi, and she found so precious all of what he taught her that she's written a couple of books about his teachings. And the second book she wrote is called My Grandfather's Blessings. There's so much wisdom in here. And this one quote I've actually quoted to you before. Rachel Naomi Remen says, "Stress may be more a matter of personal integrity than time pressure, determined by the distance between our authentic values and how we live our lives. Our feelings of stress may be more a matter of personal integrity than time pressure, determined by the distance between our authentic values and how we live our lives." One way of describing spiritual growth is it's about living more in alignment with our authentic values. From a spiritual perspective, our authentic values are in what Swedenborg called the inmost of our being. That most pure and centered place within us that Swedenborg says God keeps precious and pure. Spiritual growth is about being more in communication and connection with that inmost place in our being, that place where God resides, that place of ultimate love, ultimate wisdom, ultimate understanding, a place that's within each one of us, but that with most of us, we live at some distance from that place. And so we are invited to remember that holy place, to visit it, and revisit it. That holiest place within us is a place of truth and clarity. And again, our theology tells us that when we're there, we see most clearly. And our clear sight is most loving. Again, spiritual growth is about traveling to that place. How do we do that? One of the most obvious ways is through the discerning of which thoughts that come into our head we choose to listen to, which ones we choose to believe, which ones we choose to nourish and nurture, and which ones we choose to act on. From a theological perspective, our thoughts aren't just in our own individual heads. our thoughts are actually spiritual elements of reality. And they come from the whole gamut of our being. From our lowest and most selfish and most hungry and self-centered aspect of our being, all the way to from our highest, most glorious, most self-giving aspect of our being. And these thoughts come into our head all sorts of time of day and night. And we are not responsible for what thoughts come into our head. But we are able to respond to those thoughts. Which ones we choose to embrace and welcome and nourish and nurture, and which ones we choose to kick out the door. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can you think of any kind of universal, let's start with the negative and the destructive. Can you think of any kind of universal negative and destructive thoughts that come from the lower aspect of our individual and collective being that we might think, but that we would be better off not believing?
I don't have time for that.
I don't have time for that. All right. Yes.
I can't do that.
I don't like.
It wouldn't make any difference.
It wouldn't make any difference anyway.
It's not fair.
I think we got the idea. Negative and destructive thoughts that we recognize as coming into our minds on a fairly regular basis, ones that are repetitive in our minds, almost always have stories behind them. Collective stories from our culture and individual stories from our own lives. Religions all have stories to tell. We call these stories redemptive stories because unlike the stories that repeat in our heads that are from a less healthy part of ourself and our culture, the religious stories are actually extraordinary because they cross all time and all culture and have the ability to help us step toward heaven. No matter where we are in our lives right now. We heard two of those stories this morning, but let's look at together the second story from the Gospel of Luke. Story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. So you remember, Jesus is walking on the border between Galilee and Samaria, and he enters into a town, and as he's entering in, 10 lepers yell at him from some distance. They're actually not allowed to get close. By law, they have to keep themselves at a distance. And so they yell, Lord, Master, have pity on us. What does Jesus do? He tells them to go to the priest. Now, at that time and in that culture, it was the priests who did not only the spiritual examining, but the physical examining. And it was they that would call you clean or unclean. And if you're unclean with leprosy, then you are cut off from society. You're not allowed to live within the borders of the town. You have to live alone and separate. But you can also go back to them, and they can call you clean again. And welcome you back into the society. And so the 10 lepers go off to the priest. And as they are on their way, they are cleansed. One of them, aware of this, comes back to Jesus, falls at his feet, and thanks him. Where are the other nine? Jesus wants to know. It's only you who came back, a Samaritan. Now, in Jesus' time and place, all Samaritans were considered unclean, with leprosy or not. What strikes you about this story? Any ideas how it can help lead us to heaven?
Have a grateful heart.
Gratitude. Have a grateful heart.
Asking to be helped.
Asking to be helped.
Noticing that we were.
Notice that we need it.
That we were helped.
Okay. Notice that we need it.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for help. Notice that we are cleansed, and be grateful. You know what? Actually, that's my whole sermon. you just did it. Those are the 4 points of how we grow in a spiritual life. But I'll talk a little longer. I want to talk a little longer about leprosy itself and what it symbolizes in spiritual correspondences. I spoke a little bit about what it means literally in biblical times. And it was named for skin diseases that deadened our flesh and we had no nerve endings and then, of course, not in touch with ourselves and our feelings. On a spiritual level, leprosy corresponds to destructive thoughts. Destructive thought patterns that lead us away from the truth and therefore get us out of touch with that inmost reality that I was talking about. Get us farther and farther away from it and deaden us and separate us from our true selves and what we have to live. There are patterns of thinking and specific thoughts that lead us to heaven and ones that lead us into disarray, inauthenticity, anger, and destruction. How do we recognize the difference by those 4 points? First, we recognize that we are not living up to our highest ideals, or as Rachel Naomi Remen said, that we're not being authentic to our true self. First, recognize it. Now, was the second thing that we're supposed to do feel really guilty and shameful? No. Whatever step we take towards spiritual growth, there will be another thought tendency that tries to pull us in the opposite direction. And guilt and shame, as soon as we recognize how we're not living up to our full potential and ideal, guilt and shame will come right in to try to pull us down again. I know these well. You know, there's not one sermon that I preach that afterwards, when I go back and sit down, within 30 seconds, oh no, I can't believe I forgot to say this. I forgot to say that. What about my main point? I didn't emphasize it enough. And I feel like putting a brown paper bag over my head. So this is just to tell you that you can know these 4 points, and you can even preach about them Sunday after Sunday for 18 years now. And still, there are these thoughts that do their best to try to pull us down. Now, since I have been talking about this for actually 25 years, 18 years here, I do remember that that's not the path that Jesus would have us go. And so, the second thing, when we recognize how we're off, ask for help from that highest place within us, from the true knowledge of our own authenticity, and from those who we know and trust and love. The third thing, which the lepers did, is to go on our way. 10, by the way, correspondentially in the Bible, represents the whole shebang. So take all of ourselves and go on our way towards cleansing and healing. Live the truth we know to live. Find ourselves walking in that path. And as we do, we'll come to the time and place of realizing that we're cleaner than we used to be. My self-battering lasts a lot less long than it used to. Sometimes just moments. But we're cleaner than we used to be. It's really those three steps. In theological language, they're called repentance, reformation, and regeneration. Noticing how we're not living up to our ideals. Recognizing the thoughts and actions and motivations that are leading us to ways that aren't how we actually want to live and be and treat others. And then the third is to go on our way. Act as if and live. Three. But there was a fourth, wasn't there? Only those three are necessary for a certain level of well-being and wholeness. But the fourth, what did the Samaritan leper do? He came back and gave thanks. And Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Gratitude links us to that highest, deepest, truest place in us more directly than any other path. And the reason that Jesus says your faith has made you well is faith is connection with our most authentic self. Faith is connection with the divine within us. That's faith. So when we have faith, we have all that we need through all the trials of each day and month and year to find ways of responding to our own thoughts and actions which can help raise us to heaven. And may God be with each and every one of us on this extraordinary lifelong journey.